want to turn God's word tonight to Matthew's Gospel of the chapter number 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, three short verses, but three very important verses. Three verses that the Lord, I believe, would speak to every single person, both saved and unsaved, in this meeting tonight. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11. Let us hear the word of God. Verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. Oh Lord, just a few words on the printed page, but these are loving words. These are words from the mouth of God. These are words from heaven. These are words for this congregation tonight. Lord, thou art speaking. And I pray tonight that each person in this gathering will be able to sing the words that we have just sung. I heard the voice of Jesus say. Above, Lord, the voice of a preacher, may the voice of the Lord speak tonight. Give people wisdom to say, yes, Lord, I'm coming to thee. Bring the sinner to thee tonight, Lord. Bring the backslider back to thee tonight, Lord. Bring God's people unto thee afresh tonight. May they find rest for their soul. Lord, empty this preacher of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit, I pray, touch me tonight. Give me help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name. We ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. This passage, in its original context, is a wonderful, wonderful promise for the child of God. There are many times in the Christian life whenever we get weary. Not tired of the work, but tired in the work. Not tired living for the Lord, but tired in the efforts of the body and of the mind. You know, the Lord is calling his people who are weary to come unto him. And you might say tonight, but I come to church. I come to church, so I'm coming, as it were, unto the Lord. But I believe this is more than just attending a place of worship. I believe this is God's people coming directly to their Savior, sitting at his feet, and listening to his voice. As I read this passage this week, it reminded me of an account over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. If you turn there just for a few moments, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we read in verse number 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was covered about with much serving, and came unto him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So I read that. I read about a lady called Martha who was very sincere. There's no doubt about that. She wanted to do her best for Christ. She wanted to give her best to Christ. But she was too busy. She was bothered that other people weren't as busy as she was. She was engaged in a good work. There's no doubt about that. But she didn't know when to take a break. You see, you could be sincere, but too busy. You could be doing a good work, but there has to be a time of drawing aside, taking time from working for the Lord to coming and sitting at Jesus' feet. It's important that we do that. Now, Mary was also sincere. I don't believe there's any difference in their sincerity. But she took time with Jesus. She was listening to what the Lord would say to her. She was doing the most necessary thing. There is one thing needful. And the thing that was needful in that house that day was not that the Lord Jesus would receive a special meal or tea or supper or whatever meal he was there for. The thing that was needful was that the people he had come to visit were listening to his voice. Friend, that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing for you in your life on a daily basis, that you hear the voice of God. That's the most important thing as you come to church. The one thing that is needful is that you humble yourself and sit at Jesus' feet and hear what he would have to say unto you. Mary and Martha, both in the presence of Jesus, but one was so busy to listen, one took time to sit at his feet. It's important that we know that it is not a sin to rest. Our bodies need the relaxation. Our minds need the rest. We work best whenever we're well rested and whenever we have a healthy body, because we are resting and taking care of our body. There was a man one day who was a woodcutter. He challenged another man to a competition, a contest. He said, "We're going to go out into the wood today, and as we have to, we're going to chop wood, but we're going to see how much wood we can chop. And we're going to see who can chop the most wood during this day." And one of the people who was challenged, he took a very short lunch, and that was the only time he stopped, and he chopped, and he chopped, and he chopped. The other man, he took several breaks during the day. He took a leisurely lunch. And whenever they stopped at the end of the day and they looked at the amount of wood they had chopped, it was the man who had taken more breaks and the man who had taken the long lunch that had the bigger pile of wood. And the man said, "I don't get it. Almost every time I looked at you, you were taking a rest. And I was chopping wood. How come you've more than I have?" And the winning man said, "You didn't notice that when I sat down to rest, every time I sat down, I sharpened my axe." And you see, there is a time for God's people to come into the presence of the Lord and sharpen their faith and sharpen their focus and get that right mind and that focus and that strength again. Friend, it's no glory to go on and go on until you drop. But that we come into the presence of the Lord and be refreshed and revived and blessed. Someone once said, denying myself physical rest is not a virtue. In fact, it's a form of pride. I'm impatient when I'm tired. I can't enjoy what's in front of me. I don't treasure people the way I ought to. But in these words, God is inviting me to care for and pay attention to the physical body he has entrusted me with. Come on to me and rest. Take that time. And we need to schedule rest for the body and for the soul. And this rest, you will notice, is found in the Saviour's presence. Turn with me back to this passage in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me. And friend, that is what the Lord is saying to his people tonight. Come unto me. Take that time in my presence. Take that time listening to my voice. You fellowship sang some years ago in our meetings. Is there something in your life between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? Don't take another step. Just kneel right where you stand. Leave it at the cross. No freedom once again. I wonder, dear believer, is there something in your life? I'm not asking you, are you busy? But is there something in your life that has prohibited you coming to the Lord for that sweet fellowship? But I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm going here. If busyness prevents you from spending time with your Savior, you're too busy. You're too busy. Your coming to Christ will result in great blessing and refreshing and refocusing. And the important things will then become the important things. And if you're spending time in the presence of the Lord, the important things will be your relationship with God. And then secondly, your home and your family. And then thirdly, your service for the Lord. And friend, it's in that order. Because you must be right before God before you can be a blessing to your home and your family or a blessing in the work of God. And then secondly, you must be caring for your home and your family before you start coming into the service of God to reach others. You must have a faithful testimony at home. You must be caring for your loved ones at home. And then we come and give our service to the Lord as He has called us. But it is to Christ alone that we must come. And when we spend time in His presence, He will write those things upon our heart. There's no other person that we're to come to. It says, come unto me. And therefore, I urge each believer tonight, if you have not been spending time in the presence of God on a daily basis, this is a call to you tonight. Come unto me. Come unto me. And then we notice that it says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, labor implies work that we do, things that we take upon ourselves to do. And the word heavy laden has the idea of burdens that other people put upon us. And if we thought about all our responsibilities in life, and we know there are many parents here tonight, and there are spouses here tonight, and there are people who work at different jobs today, and members of our congregation, and all these bring different responsibilities. And maybe there's so many responsibilities in your life, you're starting to feel weary. Maybe you've taken on responsibilities that have come your way, but now you struggle to carry them out like you once did. Maybe others have burdened you with their fears or their concerns or their worries or their problems, and you are struggling to press on. It's a challenge for you tonight. There's the weight of the world, as it were, on your shoulders. But you know, there's actually another type of burden that we can struggle with. If you turn to Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23 verse 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and said to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And here we see another type of burden. And it was a burden that the scribes and the Pharisees were placing upon the people of Israel at this time. Now we have the law of Moses as they did at that time, the Ten Commandments and how they ought to live with one another. But the Pharisees added more laws. And you must also do this, and you must also do this, and you must also do this. And you're not allowed to do this at this time, you're not allowed to do this at this time. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laws that are not found in the Bible that they said, if you're going to honour the Lord, you must do this. Extra laws that God had not permitted. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, they're heavy burdens, they're grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, and they don't help them. But they delight it and give them extra burdens. You have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. We've no warrant for telling anybody they have to do this outside of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ reminds them that they do their works to be seen of men. That's what they were doing. They were putting on a show before man, but the Lord knows the heart. I've read, better to have a heart that's in tune with God. Better to have a heart that's pure before God than appear to be the most holy person in the country. A heart that's dark. And therefore, sometimes it can be the burden of trying to please people. And that's a great burden. Then we must not give in to such burdens because they will weigh us down. What happens when you have a burden? Well, it's hard to make progress, isn't it? It's one thing walking a mile of a journey. It's another thing walking a mile of a journey with a great burden upon your back. It slows you down and it hinders you. And so too with the burdens that are placed upon our shoulders. These religious leaders were burden bringers. Christ is the burden taker. And he wanted to lift the burdens of his people. And perhaps tonight in this meeting, life has been difficult for you. The cares have been great. The progress has been hard. Maybe others have been judging you and tutting you, not knowing your circumstances. But tonight, the Lord is calling you, weary pilgrim. The Lord is calling you, tired Christian. The Lord is calling you, struggling saint. You do not have to bear these burdens alone. And here's what the Lord says. I will give you rest. It's interesting to note that he repeats that at the end of verse 29. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now this rest is linked with the presence of God. Come on to me and I will give you rest. Now, what is the rest that has been spoken of? That rest isn't walking away from the spiritual battle. It's not walking away from the work of God, but it is to be strengthened and refreshed to go forward in the work of God. In fact, the word means to be refreshed. That's another way to be translated. Come on to me and I will refresh you. I will revive you. It's interesting to note that at the end of verse 29 he says, ye shall find rest unto your soul. This is a quote, many believe, from Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16, where the Lord said, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So the idea is not only with the presence of the Lord gives you rest, but obedience to the Lord refreshes your soul. There's a blessing in your soul whenever you walk in the old paths, when you walk in the scriptural way, when you walk in obedience to the Lord. And the Lord therefore says, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest on your soul. And the idea here is this, that the yoke was that instrument that was placed upon the neck of the oxen. And there were usually two oxen, and they had the yoke upon their neck, and they pulled forward and they pulled the yoke. Now in scripture, the yoke is sometimes used as an emblem of bondage or slavery. The yoke of bondage is spoken of in the book of Leviticus. The yoke of slavery. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1 or 5, 1 it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage or the yoke of sin. But in this instance, when it said, take my yoke upon you, the Lord is saying, take my teaching upon you, take my commands upon you, and obey. And that is what the Lord wants us to do. Now we must come into the presence of the Lord and ask for strength to do that. Now we know that the Word of God, there are things that we're told not to do, there are things that we're told to do, and therefore that is all spoken about in the yoke of God. And the Word of God says here, my yoke. This is the truth of Christ. Friend, you see, we are living for the Lord. Our obedience is to Him. And whenever we are living unto the Lord, then we are free in Christ. William Cowper, one of those great hymn writers of a few hundred years ago, said, he is a free man whom the truth makes free, and all else are slaves beside. Only those whom the truth makes free are truly free. And for many people, they see the religion of Christianity, of born again Christianity, of following Christ as a burdensome thing. You know what the Christians find? That whatever the burden of sin is lifted, it's a joy to walk in the ways of God. It's a joy to obey Him. It's a blessing to walk under His command and at His will. And we're told here to follow the Lord in this regard. Learn of me. And what does He ask us to learn of Him? I am meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly. And as we follow the Lord and live for Christ, this is something we need to learn in our lives. We need to be meek and we need to be lowly. What does that mean? Well, meekness, that speaks about a gentleness, about a forbearing, about a kindness, a patience. As the Lord dealt with his disciples, there was that meekness. Many times he did things that if we were there, we'd have been cross at the disciples, wouldn't we? But the Lord gently speaks to them and teaches them. There's that lowliness. You see, the meekness was toward men. The lowliness toward God. Meek before man, lowly before God. Be humble before the Lord. And you'll find that whenever someone is in the presence of the Lord and they continually come on to the Lord, that they will grow in meekness and in humility. They'll be a humble person. And if pride's an issue in your life, it's an issue in every single one of our lives because it always is bubbling up there. The answer to pride is to go to the Lord. Come on to me and I will give you rest. I will refresh you. And then he says this, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the yoke was made of wood. And the word easy here means it is well fitting. Now, if it wasn't well fitting and the animal pulled ahead, the yoke would catch on its neck. And the pain would cause it to stop and the pain would cause it to stumble. And therefore, they made sure that the yoke for the animal was well fitting. It was smooth. And that's what the Lord says. My yoke is easy. It is well fitting. It's not going to jar. And often whenever the new ox was being trained to bear the yoke, it was paired up with a mature and an older, stronger ox, and it learned by its example. And as they came along together, the young one learned of the older one. And this is the way the Christian learns. This is the yoke of Christ. He bears it as we serve him. And that's why he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friend, I'll tell you, the yoke of Christ is easy. The yoke of Christ is light compared with the yoke of Satan, with the yoke of sin. As I'll tell you, it will be a burden that will bring you down to hell. The yoke of Christ is easy and light if we walk in the way that Christ is directing us. But sometimes believers don't go in the way that the Lord commands them to go. They try and pull another way. And yes, that is burdensome. And yes, that does hurt. And the joy is lost whenever you're pulling in a different direction from the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you go with the Lord and go through with God, I'll tell you, there's blessing. There's joy. And that yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ is his command to us. Are you in obedience to the Lord tonight? Because if you are, there'll be joy in your heart. And I would say to each believer in this meeting, it is imperative, it is necessary, it is fundamental that on a daily basis we come unto the Lord, that he might give us rest, refreshment, reviving in our soul. But while it's true, this passage has been given in the context unto Christians, it's been used over the centuries as well, and I believe rightly so, to speak to those who are not saved, because the gospel principles are within this passage. Why does the Lord say to the people, come unto me? Because they have a need. They're weary, they're heavy laden, and they can't deal with the problems and the burdens themselves. And this reminds me tonight, looking at it from the gospel viewpoint, that all without Christ are in great need. All without Christ are a great need. Oh, there are great needs tonight in the world. There are many needs tonight that we can highlight and emphasize. But the greatest need that any man or woman, boy or girl has is a spiritual need. I have a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved on my mind and my heart while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost. My soul should be lost. And in hell, if I die as I am. Friend, there's nothing more precious than your soul. You will leave everything behind when the Lord calls for your soul to leave this world. All the body, all the clothes, all the property, all the land. All the fame and notoriety, it will be left behind. Your soul will go into God's eternity. If that soul is saved by the grace of God, then you will go to heaven to be with the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah for that. But if that soul is without Christ, you will go to hell. And maybe you are weary today. Maybe you're starting to feel the weight of your sin. Maybe you're starting to feel the burden of your sin. Oh, whenever you started out in life, you thought, oh, well, this will be exciting, and this will be fun, and this will bring satisfaction, and this will bring pleasure. But you've tasted the things of this world. You've gone to the places of this world. You've indulged in the sins of this world. And the reality is, they've left you empty. They haven't given everything that they promised. They were empty promises. They're broken promises. You're not satisfied tonight. You're not truly happy tonight. You know if you close your eyes at death, you're going to hell. And then you know that someday the Lord will call you from hell. And you'll stand before His throne of judgment and give an account for the life that you've lived. Friend, are you feeling the burden of your sin tonight? Maybe you've looked into the eyes of your loved ones as your sin has been bringing you into bondage. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's immorality. Maybe it's cheating. Maybe it's a foul mouth. And you've seen the hurt your sin has caused in the eyes of your family and your friends. Maybe that's a burden upon your heart today. Then you realize there's a Heavenly Father. And He's wounded by the sins of your life. Your sin has offended God. Your sin has angered God. Your sin has been judged by God. And you're under the condemnation tonight. Friend, you're in great need. How sad if there would be one in this meeting or one watching online and there was no concern about your soul at all. How sad if you could think of heaven and hell and laugh and say, oh well, sure, what of it? How sad if you have no concern about the day you're going to die and where your soul will be 1 second after you die. We were praying for you tonight over in the hall. We were praying that the Lord would speak into hearts that are not saved in this meeting tonight, watching online. We were praying for our families, those who we love and would love to see in the house of God. And my prayer tonight is if you have no concern about your soul, that as the days or as the minutes tick by tonight, as the hours go by, you'll feel the weight of your sin upon your shoulder. Are you anxious about your soul tonight? Are you fearful about death? Well then there is one. There is one tonight's calling you. Come on to me. Come on to me. Notice not only the people in need, but the person who's calling. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, it's not a church calling you tonight to come to the church. It's not a religion calling you tonight to come and participate in some act of religion. It's not a preacher calling you tonight to come to Him. It's not a priest calling you tonight to come to Him. It's not an ordinance calling you tonight. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ appointed by the Father. The only Savior of sinners, the only Redeemer of God's elect, the only one who had the perfect life so He could become the substitute for those who are lost in their trespasses and in their sin. And it's the Lord who is calling. So many people think of Christianity as just our religion. No, no, no. It's Christ. This is the Savior for me. Friend, you'll not be asked what your religion is whenever you stand before God or what denomination you attended. You ask, what did you do with Christ? And that's the crux of the matter tonight. Friend, this is the matter tonight. Will you give yourself to Him? Will you call upon Him to be your Savior, no deliverance from the bondage of sin? Will you know the joy of sins forgiven, the hope of heaven, peace with God? Friend, tonight, will you continue in your sin rejecting Christ? Until that day you stand before Him, Christ rejects you. Notice the people in need, that's the sinner. The person who's calling, that's the Savior. But notice the promises that are given. I will give you rest. There's a rest for the people of God. What do I mean by that? Well, this rest is spiritual rest. Peace of conscience. Ease of mind. Tranquility of soul. You know, there are people today, and I spoke about this morning in the service, and they cannot sit in silence. They dare not sit in silence. Because their conscience will trouble them. There has to be music. There has to be television. There has to be spoken voice. There has to be busyness around them. Because if they sat on their own, they would start thinking. Start thinking about who they are. What they've done. Their past. Where they're going. They don't want that. So they keep so busy. But I'll tell you the wonderful joy of being a Christian. It means that whenever you think about your past, you're able to turn around and see it's covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiven. Forgiven. And that's what happens when a sinner says, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my heart, into my life, and take away my sin. Thank you for shedding your blood that saves sinners. Lord, save a sinner tonight. Praise God, our sins, which are many, will be covered by the blood slain on Calvary. Friend, rest of soul is the most important thing. Eternal rest of your soul tonight is the most important thing that you can have. Well, there's things that give us a certain degree of rest, a certain degree of peace, a certain degree of confidence and security. Money, for example, family and friends. Whenever you're lying upon the sick bed, but death is hastening on. Friend, the only thing that gives rest to your soul is Christ. I've sat beside people nearing the end of their lives. I'll tell you, the conversation isn't about how much money they have. Conversation is not about all the things that they enjoyed and held to in life. Praise God for most of the conversation was at the resting of Christ. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. That word rest means to be refreshed, but it also means to take ease. How can a soul that's born in sin and facing God's judgment, facing hell, be at ease? Only whenever they have been to Calvary. When the debt of their sin has been paid by the work of Christ, whenever they become a sinner who turns in faith and repentance unto the Lord, remembering he died the just for the unjust, to bring sinners to him. See, you can walk out of this meeting tonight without Christ. He's calling you, come unto me. And you might even walk out of this meeting tonight without Christ and for a little while in this world prosper in the eyes of the world. But friend, you die in your sin. You die in your sin. You'll be in hell. To reject him is folly. To reject Christ is to seal your eternity in hell. To reject Christ is to reject peace and pardon. To reject hope and to reject heaven. A friend, you could reject Christ tonight that he takes you for the final time at your word. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. Friend, you don't know if you'll make it home tonight. But praise God, you can leave this place knowing that it is well with your soul. Do you know in the Bible there's not one word of comfort? Not one word of comfort for a soul that rejects Christ. No good news at all. Tells us in Revelation chapter 14, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, those who die without Christ, they have no rest. Praise God, there's a rest for the people of God. There's a place of glory prepared for those that love him. a place of that spiritual warfare, resting from that spiritual warfare to go into the peace and the presence of God. Now, there's going to be work in heaven. There's going to be service in heaven. But what an eternal rest that will be to our soul, because nothing will hinder us there. Nothing will discourage us. Nothing will hurt us. Someone once took the words of the hymn that we sang tonight, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say." And they added a couple of extra verses to it. I just want to read them tonight as we close. "I heard the voice of Jesus say, 'Come unto me and rest. O weary one, bowed down with care, laid upon my breast. There is no load I cannot bear, no burden that I will not share. So cast on me thy every care. Come unto me and rest. All ye that labor, come to me, and I will give you rest. Though heavy laden you may be, come laid upon my breast. He spoke to me so tenderly, 'Come take my yoke and learn of me. My burden shall rest light on thee, and I will give you rest.'" Over 100 years ago, there was a preacher in the United States. He's preaching at a tent mission. He's preaching in this text. He drew near the close, and his heart was so full of Christ, he couldn't really express even by words the wonder of the invitation that was given. And all he could say is, "Come on to me." What does that mean? "Come on to me." What does that mean? And he repeated it again and again and again. And in the front row, there was a little girl, 7 or 8 years old, and she put up her hand. And the preacher stopped and he looked down and he said, "Yes, child." She goes, "I know what it means." And he looked at the child and he said, "Dear child, the Saviour said, 'Come unto me.' What does that mean?" And she said, "It means he wants me. He wants me." We're living in a world tonight where life isn't very precious. Life can be terminated just like that because we don't want them. And maybe tonight you've sinned so much that there are many friends and family, they don't really want you tonight. You burned your bridges, you sinned. But Christ wants you. The Lord wants you tonight, dear sinner. The devil wants to damn your soul, but Christ wants to save you. The world wants to ruin and waste your life, but Christ wants you tonight. And tonight he's saying, "Come unto me." Therefore, close this meeting, I share the challenge. Will you come? Will you come? Will you bow your head tonight as you sit in that pew and say, "Lord, I'm coming. Oh, too long I've wasted my life in sin. Too long I've played about with my soul. Too long I've been marching to hell, wasting what Christ has given me, even with my health and opportunities. I'm coming tonight, Lord." If there's one that will do that tonight, I would ask you to call on the Lord as we pray. And then after, let me know, and I would love to show you how you can go on with God. Tonight, if you're at home, maybe tonight the Lord's speaking to you. Call on to him. If I can be of any help spiritually, please do get in contact. But you come to Christ. If he's calling you, don't turn away. But come by faith to him. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and in the stillness of this moment, once again we make ourselves available. Listen carefully, friend. He's calling. "Come unto me. I will give you rest." Weary Christian, will you come today? Will you come into the presence of Christ and just be refreshed? Sinner, will you come tonight? Come and bring your burden to Christ. I praise God, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Heavenly Father, we know at the close of a meeting such as this, there'll be a battle within hearts tonight. The world and the flesh and the devil will be so appealing. But yet there is a desire. There is a desire to know the rest that God gives. I pray, Lord, tonight, that through thy Holy Spirit and through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that victory will be won in hearts today. And maybe there is a sinner listening to my voice, and Lord, they've been rejected by the world and turned out by their families. So grievous is sin they've inflicted upon them. Thank God tonight the arms of Christ are still open. Maybe there's someone sitting in this meeting and everybody thinks they are a Christian. But the Lord's speaking to them tonight. The arms of Christ are open. They say, come unto me. Oh Lord, help us to glory in nothing. Nothing. Save the cross and the person of Christ. Save precious souls tonight. Restore those who have fallen. Encourage thy people. Oh Lord, grant it that all who have heard this service, either in person or on the internet, that all will come. Come to Jesus. Bless us and part us with thy fear and in thy favor. For in Jesus' name alone we pray these things. Amen. Amen.